The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Giordano's, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix.
Good evening. Another edition of All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman, and so happy to have you with us for the entire hour. 2 weeks, guys. 2 weeks away, Tom, from draft day, first round, Bears with the 7th overall pick. What stands out to me is what happened 15 years ago this week when the Bears had another top 10 pick. They drafted Brian Urlacher. He was a stalwart. It made the Bears defense in that era one of the best defenses in all of football. Urlacher will be eligible for Pro Football Hall of Fame induction in 2018, but it goes to show that you can get a real difference maker if you make that correct identification in that top 10.
Yeah, but you know, Brian identified himself, because I think when we the Bears drafted Brian Urlacher, there was a lot of uncertainty exactly where you wanted him to play. And even about a year and a half into his career, they were still talking about exploring him as an outside linebacker. Because he's so gifted, because he has such great linebacker ability where he can play inside and outside, but to have the unique quality to be physical enough to play on the inside and still get to your grounds coverage for the passing game, that was the unique trait about Brian. But again, it's about developing his talent. He didn't come in here as a polished stone. He came in here, and Dale Lindsey and the rest of the linebacker coaches really took it upon themselves to cultivate this talent into a Hall of Fame player, in which he turned into be.
Jim, it took a couple of games for the Bears to find the right spot for Urlacher, and then he took off. But you know, you were out there at the practices.
Yep.
Did you know right away that this guy was going to be a difference maker?
Oh, you definitely knew, and I think you know, it's interesting because Tom brings up good points. You know, some guys are just, you're drafting them just due to their athletic ability. You know, think about a guy coming out in this year's draft, Shaq Thompson, out there for the Washington Huskies. Guy, you know, he played running back for them. He definitely wants to play outside linebacker in the league, and he has safety skills as well. And sometimes you're just drafting these guys for their great attributes, that are God-given ability, and you feel you can mold the rest when you talk about their athleticism. But Brian came to the Bears, and that was what they thought. Well, let's put him at strong side outside linebacker. Problem was, he couldn't beat out Rosie Colvin. And Brian will be the first one to tell you, hey, I was a safety in college. Now I'm dealing with tight end release techniques off the line of scrimmage. He's like, I was terrible. You know, and Rosie ended up winning the job out of camp. And then lo and behold, Barry Minner gets injured during the season, and they throw Brian Urlacher in there, and the rest is history. And, you know, guys, I bring it up all the time. After a game, guys would come out of that room, the coaches, everybody's just shaking their heads at some of the things Brian Urlacher was doing. And I know it personally from a quarterback, because when I practiced against him, I'd be like, how the hell did he just make that play? He'd come up, I'd run like an I-134 all goal where the tight end takes the middle and cover two. Brian would come up in the hole between the center and the guard, hit the fullback, knock him back, didn't know his reads, finally realized it was a pass, and was still sprint back and knocked down my football when I was trying to throw to the tight end over the middle. And I'd be like, where the hell did he come from? You know, he was that physically gifted and just a great football player. And the rest is history. He deserves everything he gets. And I hope he is a first ballot Hall of Famer, because he knows how I feel about him. He is definitely one of the greatest that's ever played the position.
You know, I think timing of teammates is important, too, because you will look what Lance Briggs offered to Brian Urlacher. Their friendship, they're the great teammates. I think Lance maybe understood linebacker play maybe a half a second faster than Brian. And then the conversations they had, it was football relatable. And when you have two teammates having quality conversations about your defense, about your opponent, about what they expect out of you from your job, that does a lot to help players and a position grow at a rapid rate. Because when you do have that guy that you're really attached to, You look forward to going to practice every day. You look forward to coming to work. You look forward to the weight room sessions and film sessions. And you look forward to comparing yourself on tape to who can be the greatest of players.
85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is here. And I'm Zach Zabin, pleased to be joined by one of the Bears' newest linebackers. And joining us right now here on Bears All Access is former Arizona Cardinal Sam Acho, who just recently signed with the Bears. And he's a unique linebacker because as of right now, he's been issued number 49. That's a new thing in the NFL these days to give numbers in the 40s to linebackers. Does it feel weird for you, Sam?
It feels a little weird being in the 40s, but I plan on changing to a 90 number sometime in the near future.
Hey, Sam, I was reading some stuff about you early in your, and you had some shot put and discus experience, correct?
Yes.
And how does that explosiveness from that sport relate to your football skills?
Oh, it's huge. You look at shot put especially, and it's all about short area explosion. Whether you're gliding or spinning, it's short area explosion, and it's the ability to be able to deliver a blow, if you will. Now, in shot put, you're throwing a shot. But in football, it's delivering a short area blow. And the same in discus, it's short area quickness. You work that. And I've been doing that in high school, set records at my school. It was a small school, but, did well in both shot put and discus. And so that translated well to the football field.
Well, Sam, Jim Miller here. One, congratulations on signing with the Bears and welcome to Chicago. And just talk about the fit. We know how well you played out there for the Arizona Cardinals. Know about the injury history with the leg. But, man, you're playing at such a high level prior to the injury. Maybe just touch on that and how this could all work out for you as a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jim. And I'm excited to be a Bear. As you mentioned earlier, I started off my career really well. And, as football goes, injuries happen. And I had a season-ending injury, a broken leg, and that took out my third year, my third year in the NFL, 2013. And so I recovered from that last year and came on a little late. It took me a little long to kind of get in a groove, but I came on a little late and finished the season really strong. The last game of the season, played the 49ers, had a big-time sack on Kaepernick, 15-yard loss. And then in the playoff game, the NFC wildcard game against the Panthers, had a couple big plays and a big sack force fumble on Cam Newton. And so it took me a while to get into a groove, but I'm excited to be a part of this system with obviously moving to a 3-4 defense and my experience there the last 4 years in Arizona. I think it'll be a good fit.
Visiting with new Bears linebacker Sam Acho, who comes over from the Cardinals and played in a playoff game, as you just mentioned, a very successful defense with Todd Bowles as the defensive coordinator, now the head coach of the Jets. What differences have you been able to kind of see between the defense that you played in last year and what Vic Fangio has planned for the Bears this season?
Well, I love Vic as a coach. He's a brilliant mind, and he always talks about pluses and minuses. With every defense, he says, there's a positive to this. There's also a downside to it. And so you have to know your strengths and know your weaknesses. And one thing that I've noticed with him is that he puts his players in the best position to be successful. Whether that's linebackers, defensive backs, or defensive linemen, he tries to get you in the best position to be successful. A lot of coaches don't know how to do that. He knows how to do it, and he does it well.
Hey, Sam, have you been a defensive player your entire career? Going back to high school, do you have any offensive experience that kind of you can draw back from when you continuously develop your defensive career as an NFL player? Is there anything offensively to draw back on in your past?
Well, the only thing to draw back on is my first year playing football, and I must have been maybe in the sixth grade, and I was playing for our YMCA league, right? So it's, I was playing, and I was a bigger kid. I was about, in fifth grade, I was about 220 pounds or wow. So I was overweight. I was just a big kid, and so they made me play offensive line, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And I mean, I was like, what am I doing? Like, do you get no credit for what you do? Like, you're getting, people are trying to run you over. So that kind of developed my love for defense. I'd always loved defense. I remember being a kid and saying, man, I love sacks. Like, I just love sacks. I'd always loved watching players get sacks as a young guy. Julius Pepper, Simeon Rice were two guys that I watched. So I always loved sacks. And then so finally that first year of being forced to play offense, it made me realize that a newfound love, if you will, for defense. And so ever since then, after that sixth grade year, seventh grade, moved to defensive tackle and played defensive tackle in seventh grade and eighth grade and my freshman year in high school. And finally, as I started to develop more as an athlete, I played both ways. So I played tight end and defensive end. and I played both ways all throughout high school, but my passion and my skill set was always on the defensive side, and that's why I ended up going to Texas and playing defensive end at the University of Texas.
See, but that was music to Tom Thayer's ears. You know that, Sam. I mean, out at the old line. I started out at right guard. Even Tom Thayer doesn't know that. But, no, great athlete that you are. And you bring up – I just want to go back to the injury a little bit. I mean, did you think – were you worried about coming back? Did you think you'd ever make it back? Because as you mentioned, you were making plays in that playoff game. You know, against Carolina. But what was going through your mind? Because I think it says a lot about you to overcome a significant injury the way you have.
Well, funny enough, I've been fortunate. I've been blessed to actually never have had a major injury in my entire sports career. That's from sixth grade playing football, but until I was 6 years old playing soccer and basketball and baseball. Never had a major injury, never had a surgery. As a matter of fact, when I went to the combine, all the team doctors were shocked because they were like, this guy's clean. Like, I've never seen this before. And so, that was my first major injury, and it was a major test, right? It really tested my faith. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a Christian, so testing my Christian faith, am I going to trust in God? Also testing my faith in myself, like, am I going to be able to overcome this? And so, and by the grace of God, I was able to overcome, and it was a hard road. I'm gonna tell you that much right now. Rehab, a lot of you guys know it's not easy, and so to be able to come back from that and finally, towards the end of the season last year, getting to a groove, it just felt good to be able to get back to playing the way that I used to play.
You know, you talk about overcoming adversity, and there's a great video that illustrates that you put together on YouTube. It's available to anyone who wants to watch it, about your trips every offseason to Nigeria and watching people have to face real adversity. And I'm not minimizing the football stuff, but you made a good comparison between the two. And I know that has to help you become a better football player when you deal with the real life issues that you've had to deal with over the years.
Hands down. And in reference to the video you're talking about, I mean, all those are, you know, I put it on sammacho.com, so they're all on my website. So you can watch them there. But I make a comparison between life in the NFL and life in Nigeria. And I talk about adversity in the NFL. An example I gave is running down on the kickoff team. And we've all done it before, right? Running down on the kickoff team and you're running full speed ahead and you got a wedge coming at you with 200-300-pound guys trying to knock your head off. That's adversity in the NFL, and it's dangerous. We talk about adversity in Nigeria being a family, right, who has no running water. They have to go to the stream, walk over a mile, if not miles, to a stream. A stream where people do their laundry, where people take showers. They get a bucket, fill that bucket up with water from the stream. They put that bucket on their head. They walk that bucket full of water back to their little house or hut, whatever you want to call it, and they boil that water. Once again, it's not clean water. They boil that water to get all the impurities out. Then they cool that water in order to drink that water. That's adversity in Nigeria. So my experience in Nigeria, just seeing what real life is like, it minimizes the problems, quote unquote, that you have in the NFL. Not saying that they're not real problems, right? Injuries are bad. This is our livelihood, right? A broken leg, if I can't walk, I can't play. If I can't play, I can't earn an income and take care of my family. But it does provide a different perspective on life, a bigger picture on life.
Do you ever have to run those thoughts through your head in like the dog days of training camp when you're at your most fatigued or maybe you're being challenged by a coach? Do you have to draw those thoughts to put that, you know, your thoughts and your position into perspective?
You have to, because if you don't, otherwise you start complaining unnecessarily. You start thinking negatively. And I mean, every person that plays in the NFL has an unbelievable opportunity, not only to make a lot of money in a short period of time. Now, granted, you have to take care of that money well, but take a lot of money, but also to make an impact in a lot of people's lives. You know, that's one of the reasons I was so excited to become a Bear. I mean, this is one of the most storied, if not the most storied franchise in the NFL. And so the opportunity to come and play for the Chicago Bears and play and be a part of this defense, I mean, you got a chance to not only have fun on the field and do what you love, but you get a chance to have other people watch you and they enjoy it. We start getting back to our winning ways, and that's what it's all about.
Well, and I think you'll find out pretty quickly, Sam, they take their defense seriously in terms of the fans there. So there is high expectation. Maybe talk about that, because you come from such an aggressive background in Arizona. You know, Todd Bowles, that guy's no slouch in terms of dialing up some things, and Vic Fangio can be pretty aggressive as well. And just talk about that style of football. Is that how would you, if Bears fans were to, if you were to give a breakdown for Bears fans that are listening to this, the style of player that you are and what you bring to the table?
I would say aggressive and versatile, you know, and a smart player. Those are the three words I'd use: aggressive, versatile, and smart. And so all throughout my career from high school, I've played under great coordinators, a great defensive coordinator in high school, in college, and Will Muschamp, a great defensive coordinator. In the NFL, my first 2 years played under Ray Horton, who was a great defensive coordinator, and moved on to Todd Bowles. So I played under really good defensive coordinators, and I've learned a lot from them. And they all have their different styles. And so now, having Coach Fangio, it was just cool to see his style. You know, you mentioned earlier Coach Bowles, he would dial it up. Yeah, I mean, we blitzed probably 70% of the time, yeah, if not more. It was awesome. We loved it, you know. And I remember when I was meeting with Coach right after I signed, I was meeting with Coach Fangio, and he said, you know, how'd you like it in Arizona? I said, I loved it, man. We blitzed all the time. And he said, well, yeah, y'all got beat deep a lot too, didn't you? I said, well, you know, we made our fair share of plays now, Coach. I know, you know, So, but, you know, it goes back to him saying, you know, there are pluses and minuses to everything. If you blitz a lot, right, you better have corners that can cover, because they're going to be one-on-one. So if you blitz a lot, that's the plus of blitzing, you're getting pressure on the quarterback. They have to get it out fast. The minus of that is that they have one-on-ones, period. If you go to what he did in San Francisco, they played a lot of coverage. And that's what their players like to do. He put their players in the best position to succeed. Their players like to play in a little bit more coverage rather than blitzing, and that's what they did, and they did it well. They did a great job of it. So I'm excited to see how we dial up this defense, this new Chicago Bears defense under Coach Fangio. But no matter what we do, I know it's going to be successful.
Our final few moments with new Bears linebacker Sam Acho here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. There are a whole bunch of new faces inside that Bears locker room, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And this week you've had an opportunity to work out with the coaches and work out with many of those players. Who's the leader, at least in week one, inside the locker room at Halas Hall?
I think we're still trying to find that guy. You know, I think we're still trying to find that guy, that leader. And I think that's part of what makes great teams and great defense, is developing leadership throughout the locker room, whether it's offensively, whether it's defensively, just developing leadership. And a lot of people get leadership misconstrued. They think it's all rah-rah and getting hyped up. And that's part of it. But another part of leadership is just doing the little things right day in and day out. Simple as that. Doing the little things right day in and day out and serving, right? You know, it's not all about you. It's about making your teammates better. It's about figuring out how to maximize their potential. And also your potential. It's competing. It's being the best you can be. And so I think we're still trying to find that guy, but that's the exciting part about an offseason. That's the exciting part about a new team, a new staff, new players, is that you develop these new leaders as time goes on. So we'll see. I mean, ask me this question, you know, in a couple of months, I'll probably have a better answer for you.
Well, you know, Sam, it's kind of led me to my next question, because Bruce Arians seems to be a heck of a head coach in Arizona, but it seems outside perception is that it was a defensive-dominated team. And that's something that the Bears need to return to. They got away from the reputation that they've had defensively for generations around here. And I think that's something you need to bring with you from Arizona, is the fact that you can have the quality offense there, but it's about the defense return to dominance, and that's what we need here in Chicago. And I think that's what the expectations of yourself and whoever else is going to be identified of the leaders in that defensive room.
Hands down, and I'm a firm believer, and I always will be a firm believer, that defense wins championships. Now we are turning, the NFL is turning into somewhat of a passing league, an offensive league, but defense wins championships. Look at the teams that have won in recent history, and they all, for the most part, have got good defense. And so defense wins championships. And obviously you have to have offensive firepower in order to be successful. And this, the way the NFL has become, you need that. But if you don't have defense, you're not going to win.
Last one for me, Sam. How's your brother Emmanuel doing over there in Philadelphia? Those guys are growing web feet on those Eagles over there.
I'm telling you, they are. They are. And Emmanuel's doing great. So he's a third-year linebacker in Philly, and he loves it over there. They start up their practices on Monday, and so he decided to get back to work. It was fun. We actually, when I was in Arizona last year, we played them last year. We played Philly, and it was a brother-to-brother matchup, but they came out on top. You know, so that's bragging rights for the next year at least.
Big no, bro does it again, stuff. Huh? Big brother did it again.
And I gotta stay. Big bro's gotta stay ahead because as soon as little bro gets a sniff of success, he's gonna run with it for the rest of his life. So I gotta stay ahead.
I like it. I like the attitude there. And by the way, for you were talking about the Nigeria trips every off season earlier in the interview. It also led to you finding your wife, did it not?
It did. It did. So you know, funny enough, as I'm sitting here on this call, I'm next to my wife. We've been married for a year, and we have a 3-month-old going on 4-month-old son, a future, hopefully a future bear.
There you go.
You know, so yeah, so I met my wife about, we've actually known each other for the last over 10 years, and I that's how long I've been going on this trip, and every year I'd go, I'd just see the way that she was there just serving. My wife is from Nigeria, and she was there helping with that trip and serving, but not only was she doing that, she was also helping take care of my grandmother who was sick. So she moved from the city she was living in to the village where my grandmother was living in. My parents are from Nigeria as well. And she moved there and had been taking selflessly, when we talk about selflessness, right? Taking care of my grandmother. So she was about 15 years old. And so finally, 2 or 3 years ago, I went on this trip and went with one of my Cardinals teammates, and he saw the way I was looking at her, and he was like, man, you got to make the move. What are you waiting for? So he, Calais Campbell, actually pro bowler, one of my best friends from the Cardinals, you know, and I went for it, and by the grace of God, it worked out. We got married. We did a traditional Nigerian wedding in 2013, which is a huge party youth celebration. Then we did our American wedding in March of 2014. So we just celebrated a year, and you know, soon thereafter, we you know, got a chance to be pregnant for a little bit, and a couple months ago, we had our son. So God is good. Life is good. We're enjoying it.
Welcome to Chicago. Thank you so much. Great stuff.
Thanks, Sam.
Awesome. I appreciate you.
Thanks,
guys. Sam. Thank you so much.
Good talking to you.
New Bears linebacker Sam Ocho. A really great story when you consider just how well-rounded of a person he is. I mean, Jim, you know, this is the type of player that the NFL wants to promote because he does it the right way.
Well, him and his brother are just class acts. Fortunately, I have the opportunity to do that rookie symposium in Cleveland when these guys are introduced in the National Football League, could be more impressed. You know, the minute you meet them, you see how smart both he and his brother are. They're positive. You know, when you look at for role models, things like that, these guys live up to it. They're class acts in the NFL, and it's good to have them as Chicago Bear.
We've got to take a timeout. When we come back, we've heard the names Shelton, White, Cooper, Mariota, Ray, Beasley. Just a few of the names linked to the Bears' 7th overall pick in the first round. What are they going to do with this pick? We'll ask Tom, we'll ask Jim, next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. We've got 85 Bear Tom Thayer, former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zabin here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. And every single day, you hear another name being linked to the Bears. They interview, reportedly, Jameis Winston this week, Mariota, Shelton, White, Cooper, Ray, Beasley, the cornerback Waynes. Where are the Bears going, Jim? I mean, you're up to date with all of this stuff, and you see what the other teams are thinking.
Right.
Can you kind of narrow it down, direction they're thinking here?
And there's more news coming out every day. News today about Jameis Winston. And, you know, you got to believe, especially if it's a quarterback and it's a top pick, a lot of times ownership has to sign off on that pick. You know, it's going to be interesting what Tampa Bay decides to do at one. I think we all know that quarterbacks you know, really motivate a draft if teams want to trade up to get one. There's about 6 teams that are needy at quarterback, so it's going to be interesting from the get-go and how this draft unfolds. Certainly a lot of storylines that fall into it, but there's going to be good players. If the Bears elect to sit right where they are at 7, I think the more interesting thing from my aspect is just how aggressive Ryan Pace will be as a first-time GM in that position. Granted, he served in the role when Mickey Loomis was on hiatus down there for New Orleans. But how will he conduct his first draft? Will he be conservative? Will he be aggressive? Is he going to go after the needs and attack them if they truly are the highest players rated on his board or the Bears board with the, you know, that they want to move up to get a player or go down to get the player that they want? But I think at 7, there will be a good player from skill position players like receivers. We've talked about Amari Cooper from Alabama, Kevin White from West Virginia. If one of those pass rushers fall, like a Vic Beasley or a Dante Fowler, they're interesting. There's big defensive tackles out there. Historically, O-linemen and D-tackles, they go pretty high, and there's a lot of them selected, and there's a run on them normally in the drafts. And I thought it was interesting as the NFL released the names that will be attending this year's 2015 draft in Chicago. There are a lot of offensive linemen on that list. And so the highest-rated player, don't be shocked if it could be a guy in the trenches as well, either on the offense or defensive side of the ball. So there's some good players out there.
You know, Jim, if you look at the building of the defense in San Francisco during the years of Coach Fangio, and when you looked at the dominance of the linebacker position, and they signed Justin Smith, the free agent who ended up being a great player for their defensive line from Cincinnati, and then you look at the Bears and where they are, and do you need that corner that's going to go alongside Kyle Fuller to be dominant corners to make sure that your front can be as active as it needs to be, not only in confusion, but getting people out of position, making blitz from an alternate spot? Is that corner the guy that's going to be really coveted to make this front work as efficiently as it needs to? You know, the more I look at the Michigan State corner, I really like this football player. But he's the name that I hear the least when they're talking about the 8 or 9 different names that you hear talked about by all the mock drafts that are going on.
Well, it's a good point, and you could connect the dots with what Sam Macho just told us about how Vic Fangio believes in playing coverage. What he means by that, for the listeners out there, your front seven better be stout. It means you don't have to gamble a lot. And those guys are going to do what they do, and that's play coverage. So you could kick Tim Jennings into, say, a nickel corner spot. You already have Kyle Fuller that we think is going to have a very bright career, and then you go out and get the best corner in the draft, which would be the Jim Thorpe Award winner from Michigan State. So that's pretty good. That's a pretty good start. For Chicago, but they've got to believe that their front seven, if they could come back, add to the D-line a little bit. We've talked about zero technique enough, so if it isn't Danny Shelton, you have to have a name in the later rounds, whether it's second or third, that could fill that role, or that the Bears believe could fill that role so they could play that style of defense.
You know, you look at how the Patriots won the Super Bowl. They don't do it unless they get the terrific cornerback play that they got from Revis and Browner last season. The Jets under Rex Ryan, when they've had those terrific defenses, they had Revis and Cromartie, and they're back in New York now. You need to have that, not just to have the corner on an island with a receiver, but to disrupt routes. The Packers have done it for years against the Bears, where they take talented receivers, throw off the timing routes, and your whole offense is out of whack, and then you can blitz from wherever you want.
It disrupts the timing rhythm for a lot of things. You know, and just because in coverage, you know, say if it's a cover two, I'll give you a team, say Lovie Smith. What do we know? It was a Tampa two, right? Those corners are really forced players. Their jobs were to throw the receiver, basically throw him into the benches to reroute him, and then they're first force, meaning they have to be willing tacklers, a part of the front seven that are up there. So there's really 9 guys up there is what it amounts to. So you got to have willing guys like that as well, even though you're playing coverage at times, and so you need guys that can do a lot of things.
It's time for you guys to participate on Bears All Access. Coming up next, we play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We go rapid fire for 10 minutes. Your questions, anything in regards to the world of football. For Tom Thayer, Jim Miller sits back. He starts writing notes on each question asked at the end of the segment. The best caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. 312-644-6767. We play Ask Tom next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's time to play Ask Tom here on Bears All Access. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zach Zaidman with you. I'll punch you up and then go right to your question for Tom Thayer. Anything in the world of football is fair game. Jim Miller will be the judge at the end of the segment. Best caller during the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Jim Miller. Let's play Ask Tom at 312-644-6767. We'll begin the festivities in Geneva with Larry. Ask Tom.
Hey, Larry.
Hello, boys. Love the show. Here's my question. With so many coaches going to the 3-4, What is the advantage, assuming the team has all the pieces in place to be successful? Why go to the 3-4 versus the 4-3? Thanks, boys.
You know, I think it's more for confusion, because when you have four down linemen, the first thing the offensive line does when they break the huddle is they identify the four guys in the three-point stance, and that's your responsibility, and then you look to the second level, to the mic man or a linebacker in the direction of protection or a run play. When you run a 3-4 defense, if you have the certain qualities you can need, you can move these people around. The linebackers you can move around into different positions, and you can still move the three defensive linemen up and down the line of scrimmage to give different appearances, to make players think until the ball is snapped. And if you create an eighth of a second of confusion to an offensive player getting out of their stance, you're going to lose the play, and the defense confusion will help you win. So a lot of it has to do with confusion, but you do have the athleticism and the ability to take advantage of maybe a lesser athlete on the offensive side of the ball.
312-644-6767. We continue Ask Tom with Ralph in Romeoville.
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, Tom. Hey, okay, it's draft night. You're the Bears GM. Mariota or somebody else falls to number 7, and somebody calls you up, another team, and says, look, we're going to give you the 17th or 18th number one pick, you know, first round pick, and we'll give you a second or third round pick. What do you do?
Well, if Mariota was there and I had to take him and keep him, I would, because I would try to increase his value and either keep him for myself, or if things work out well with Jay Cutler, he may be increased value for the future. But if I could make a trade and to get out of it and to increase my picks, I would consider that too. But you have to look at it two different ways. If you're going to make that pick with the intentions of keeping him, trying to increase value out of him, or if you can get yourself in a position where you can get three or four more draft choices, that could help your team a lot.
A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. We continue Ask Tom on Bears All Access. Sean in McHenry.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Hey, I wanted to ask you, you know, under the new regime, what do you think would happen if Jay Cutler has a mid-okay season to a great season? Do you think that the Bears will hold on to him in next, you know, the season after this one, or do you think they're still going to part ways, or what are your thoughts on that? And my mom, growing up, my mom always told me that you were my lifeguard in Joliet when I was a little kid. Were you ever a lifeguard in Joliet?
Oakwood Swim Club, my whole life growing up, was a maintenance kid and a lifeguard there.
Did you throw kids in the pool? Because that's what you
always do. Always. But, you know, getting back to your question about if they get the good Jay Cutler, that's what you want, because you've already given him money according to next year's value of his contract. So the best case scenario for this offense, Adam Gase and the rest of the guys, is develop a system that breeds confidence in Jay Cutler and the rest of his teammates. And that's the best thing that could happen to the Bears, and that's what you want to see come out of Jay. You want to see his ability match up with the perfect system.
Hey, it worked for Peyton Manning. Can they take that offense, tweak it a little bit to suit Jay Cutler's skills?
Yeah, but it's again, you're building a system for Jay Cutler, and if that includes the running game, the offensive line, tight end play, that's what you have to. That's the way you go about it. But I also believe that Jay will come out of the huddle. He will call a play, and that's the play they will use at the line of scrimmage. Every single time you go to the line of scrimmage in the old regime or with Peyton Manning, you got to keep your thinking caps on, because he will make a change as soon as a player adjusts a foot to the right or left, or even maybe give some depth to a certain receiver. So that's the differences between it. And this is a system that Peyton was in for a while. This is a system that's going to be introduced to Jay this year.
All right, it's time to pick a winner. And, Jim, I apologize that you now have a vision of Tom a la David Hasselhoff as the lifeguard at the pool.
Take off the Speedos, Tom.
I'm lacking Speedos.
A lot of great questions. Again, I mean, certainly how Tom answered the 3-4 versus 4-3 thought was fantastic. But I'm going to go with the last caller and Sean there. But I would say this. In order, you say, well, if, you know, the question was, if Jay Cutler has an okay season, would he return to Chicago? And the only thing you can do, and you see teams do it, they can't get rid of their existing quarterback. You got to have talent to replace talent. And so unless you're – whether you're making a move like that, you better make sure you have a replacement in place that you see is equal or is going to give the type of production that is greater than what has been shown previously. So I would think keep that in mind when you start getting rid of a guy. And that's true for every position, Tom. I think we would agree on that.
Just back to the Mariota question. If he was there, would you ever draft him to increase his value to try to get value for him later? Or if you were a guy drafting a guy like Mariota, are you only drafting him to be part of your future?
Yeah, no, I think if you're drafting a guy first round, you have plans that he is the future of your football team, no doubt.
Hey, I've got some questions about both Mariota and Winston, just based on the different television shows that they've done, all those shows that they do with Gruden and Steve Mariucci, and you find out a little bit more about these guys behind the scenes. And Jim played the position, so I'm interested in finding out your take in regards to their makeup, each specific guy. Next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Super Bear Shuffle 5K run takes place on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more and register today at chicagobears.com/5K. Jim Miller is here. So is Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zibman. Bears All Access rolls on here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And let's start with the quarterbacks, because you have a feeling that come draft day, 2 weeks from today, they're going to influence the way that first round goes, at least initially, depending on who goes one and then the other quarterback, wherever he's available. What kind of trades are made in order to get that guy? So let's start with Marcus Mariota, because he's a guy who did not run a pro-style offense, but everyone talks about how he's a good kid, and you watch him on all these shows, and you know he has tremendous ball security, which is what you want when you're playing the game at that position. He clearly understands how to read defenses within the framework of that offense, but you know, you watch him, and you know, Jim, I know you. I see Winston, and there's a lot of personality and leadership that seems to exude from the confidence. I don't see that in Mariota. Is that something that I should be worried about when I watch him in these interviews? It seems very quiet.
Yeah, well, I don't think you get that sense from the guys that played with him about Mark, because he is a spoken guy. I get, and that's the perception that people have of Marcus Mariota. And I just don't see that in him, because when he gets on the field, he is a fierce, fierce competitor. And I thought it was interesting when that point was brought up. Every one of his Oregon teammates were quick to stand up for Marcus Mariota to say, you don't know what you're talking about, and this guy's a heck of a leader on game day. He goes about it in terms of being tactful, I guess. He knows when to rise up and motivate players and get in guys' faces and things like that. And one of his biggest supporters is Kyle Long. I mean, that guy just raves about the leadership ability of Marcus Mariota. They both can lead. They both have won a lot of games in college football. If you actually were to say head-to-head, Marcus Mariota was better than Winston in that ball game when they went head-to-head. So I think both are strong leaders. Both have good skill sets. Probably Jameis Winston is the more natural passer in terms of fluidity and just natural ability to throw the ball. But just because Marcus doesn't come from a pro-style offense doesn't mean that he can't do what NFL teams are asking him to do. And so what I mean by that is, just because you don't see him on tape or there's less of him taking a five-step drop and nailing a 13-yard out route, he's capable of doing that. And I think a lot of coaches in the NFL feel he's capable of doing it. There's just a lot less volume on tape in terms of what we see Winston do compared to what we see Marcus Mariota do.
You know, Jim, one thing that surprises me in the quarterback, if you look at the 83 draft, John Elway, Jim Kelly, Dan Marino, Tony Eason, right, Ken O'Brien, you know, there was no guarantee that who was going to be the best in this draft. Although you had signs of greatness with Elway and Marino and stuff, maybe a little bit more than Jim Kelly, because he was drafted. I mean, he was recruited as a linebacker for Penn State. Which one of the guys outside of the top two guys we're talking about are going to be able to flourish in the NFL as well? Because I think these other guys are almost being treated unfairly, because we're only talking about two names, and somebody behind these two quarterbacks is going to have just as good as career as one of these two top guys that we're only talking about.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of people have brought up Bryce Petty. Like, say, a lot of draft analysts have Bryce Petty out of Baylor as the third QB. I personally don't have Bryce Petty as my third QB. And the reasons why is I went down to the Senior Bowl. He did struggle to get a snap from underneath center. And it's not that he won't get drafted high. I think he can be a good football player, but it's going to take time to develop. None of these guys are polished products in the NFL. And I'll go back to when Philadelphia drafted Kevin Cobb. Kevin Cobb, same thing. Spread, you know, it was a Mike Leach offense that he was in. And so when Pat Shurmur and the Philadelphia Eagles, Pat Shurmur at that point was the quarterback's coach, they wouldn't even allow Kevin Cobb to get in shotgun. His first 2 years in the league, anytime he got a practice rep, it was from underneath the center to teach him that. So I think Bryce Petty is going to go through that learning curve. In terms of measurables, Brett Hundley can play. Brett Hundley out of UCLA can play football. He's got 105 touchdowns and only like 23 picks. And I know it's a spread attack again. But in terms of just measurables, the way he throws the football, and there's been numerous teams that have done this that will trade back up into the first round to get a guy with his type of measurables. I'll give you two right off the top of my head. Joe Flacco, Baltimore did it to acquire Joe Flacco. He was a Delaware blue hen. They didn't run a pro-style offense. And then you think of Josh Freeman from K-State. He was awful at K-State. At times you could go duck hunting. It looked so bad, him throwing the football. But his measurables were there, and Tampa Bay traded up. He had some successful years and now has fallen by the wayside, finally trying to get back in the league with the Miami Dolphins.
Coming up next, we'll get Jim and Tom to tell us what the Bears went through this week. The start of the offseason program, a new coaching staff in place, a lot of new players in the locker room. What goes on during that opening week? We'll find out next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. With over 50 chances to win, the Bears Draft Insider Sweepstakes is your best way to claim amazing prizes, including a chance to see the NFL Draft live. Registration opens tomorrow at chicagobears.com/draftinsider. Alongside Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. All right, Tom, so the offseason program begins, brand new coaching staff in place. This is the first opportunity that the new coach has to address the guys on the team and basically make the kind of statement that needs to be made. When you look at a guy like John Fox, what do you think the message was from him coming in, taking over this team?
Listen, my new weight coach is in control of this weight room. What he says goes, and I think that evaluation process starts, Zach. You're going to look at guys that are enthusiastic about lifting weights, guys that are trying to stand in the corner so they don't have to do an extra set. You're going to look at their leadership qualities inside the weight room. Are they the guys that are there encouraging their teammates, or again, are they sitting there quietly looking at the clock hoping it gets, you know, that it starts clicking on? This evaluation process is just as strict as when each position coach will start evaluating what you can do without pads and then in full pads. So I think you build camaraderie, you build great teamship inside of a weight room, and I think that's exactly what the new strength coach has to look to accomplish. Get these guys closer, get them working harder, and again, keep everything in your mind and to understand the effort these guys are given to make sure they're better and that they're making their team better.
Jim, you played for guys like Bill Cowher and Bill Belichick. What's it like when you have a coach that has some equity built in the National Football League? What's it like when he addresses a team?
Oh, John Fox carries a lot of weight now. I mean, when he lays out the mission statement and what needs to be done and how guys are going to be evaluated, which is based upon winning, it carries, trust me, it carries a lot of weight. And guys are going to know what they have to do, as Tom mentioned, because they're being evaluated every day. I think everybody in that building knows there's no sacred cows right now. It's about turning the Chicago Bears around, and it's about winning football games. And the ultimate goal is to win a world championship. So I think that mission statement was laid out loud and clear by John Fox. That message should be well received by the players, because it really is on the players to get it done in terms of the work, and that's what they're going to focus on this offseason. I don't think there'll be a lot of horsing around, so to speak. There'll be a lot of work getting done down there in Hallisaw.
Right, whether you got 12 years invested or a year invested, you're all going to be evaluated the same. So if you think that you're a guy, yeah, you may have some experience in the weight room, that the coach is going to respect that because you've already it's paid dividends for you. That, but again, when you're starting a new routine and with a new regime, you really have to respect what they have to say, and that's what it's about. It's making sure that you reflect a positive energy, so that's reflected to your teammates. You don't want to have a negative Nancy in there that's really bringing everybody else down.
And for people who don't understand the way this works, the first 2 weeks of the off-season program are essentially work in the weight room, and you get classroom time with the coaches. And then leading up to the draft that week, the Bears will hold the first of two voluntary veteran mini camps. And that's really when the coaching staff will, as John Fox liked to say, you know, get your hand in the grass and you kind of find out the types of players that you have.
It's the mental evaluation that starts, because you need smart football players to have a winning team.
We've got to say goodbye, but before I do, there's a new sign on the door leading out to the practice field at Hallis Hall that says, quote, lead, follow, or get out of the way. And that just gives you a little idea of what John Fox is all about.
Says it all right there.
For Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabeman, our executive producer, Herb Lawrence, and our guy Padge back at Hallis Hall. Thank you for listening. We're back next week. Bears All Access, 2 weeks to go before the NFL draft on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows or download the podcast online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Subway, United, Verizon, and Xfinity.